Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word, the Gospel of Matthew. This morning we'll be looking at the closing verses of chapter 4 in the Gospel of Matthew, verses 23 through 25. If you're using your Pew Bibles, you can find this on page 1028. So hear now the Word of God, Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. And he, that is Jesus, went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel, the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So into our reading of God's Word this morning, let's once again bow in prayer and seek his blessing. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for these words that we have before us this morning. We pray that you would, as we look into them, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, our eyes and our ears. That you, Lord, by your grace, ascribe your truth to our hearts. And Lord, we do pray that you would be with my mind and my mouth. I may think and speak your truth clearly this morning. And in Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Well, as we looked at last week, verses 18 through 22, those verses brought to a close a section in Matthew's Gospel where he was introducing Jesus Christ, or really he was introducing Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ, and giving his arguments for in support of Jesus as the promised one of God, and referring to the prophecies of the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. And we saw in the verses last week, Jesus calling his first disciples, Simon and his brother Andrew, and then also James and John. And here in these verses, what we see here is basically an overview of the teaching ministry, or the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. The earthly ministry of Jesus Christ contained in overview form in these verses. And focusing specifically in the region of Galilee, where he was at this time. And so the theme that we're going to be looking at, and what we can look at and learn from these verses, is that we're to be taught by Jesus, hear what he preached, and then be healed by him. This is what Matthew focuses in this overview of Jesus' earthly ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus, is that it was a threefold ministry. It was a teaching ministry, it was a preaching ministry, and it was a healing ministry. And that is the threefold ministry of Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. And so the points that we'll be looking at this morning is that Jesus came teaching, secondly, Jesus came preaching, and thirdly, Jesus came healing. And so first of all, Jesus came teaching. These verses begin, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease in every affliction. Jesus' teaching ministry will really be unfolded in the verses following this, as we have those chapters that are referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, and we see his teaching ministry unfold in more detail. But here we have Matthew giving us a synopsis that Jesus came teaching throughout the region of Galilee. He was teaching in their synagogues. And we see Jesus teaching throughout the Gospels. Whenever we have a situation where someone comes before Jesus and asks him a question, he takes that opportunity as to instruct and to teach. We have before us in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verse 39, is that wonderful picture where Jesus went into the home of Mary and Martha. And if you recall in that scripture, Martha is busy trying to prepare. She's trying to be a good hostess, which have been good to do, and she gets frustrated because her sister Mary is doing nothing but just sitting at the feet of Jesus while she's busily working around. And as Martha implores Jesus to admonish her sister, how dare she let Martha just do everything? Jesus' response was that Mary has chosen, the more lasting thing to do in that instance. She is at the feet of Jesus, listening to his instruction. And so we see throughout the Gospels that Jesus was a teacher. And this is important for us to remember and to consider, because there are some circles where teaching is downplayed, that we don't need to be taught, we don't really need instruction in certain ways. But Jesus was a teacher, and he came teaching, and that was part of his earthly ministry. If you think of it this way, Jesus in his earthly ministry with his disciples walking around, it was probably the best seminary on earth. The disciples walking around with the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Creator of heaven and earth. And they were being taught by him, instructed by him, day in and day out in his presence. So his earthly ministry was like a 3-year seminary program for the disciples. And so what we learn from these verses is that Jesus did not think it a small thing to teach the truths of Scripture. And when we see the instances of him teaching in the Gospels, what he often is doing is he is taking the scriptures of the Old Testament and he's showing how they're applied. He's showing what their intent was or how they're to be viewed, as the religious leaders of the day had skewed them and added so much of their own teaching to them. He brings them back to what the truth of God is. And so as Jesus didn't think it was a small thing to teach the truths of Scripture, one of the things that we can be taught from this Scripture is to be taught by him. To read the Gospels as one who was a disciple of Jesus Christ. One professor in seminary, my seminary was nothing like walking around with Jesus for 3 years, but it was close. One seminary professor said that to read the Gospels in this light, to read them as one who was actually sitting there, as one of the 12, or as Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and look at how Jesus lived. Look at how he walked, how he talked, how he dealt with people. Those who should have known better, he dealt very harshly. Not saying that we need to take that approach. But those that were broken and humbled before him, the grace and the tenderness that he taught people with and instructed them and handled them is remarkable. And so read the Gospels and be taught by him and how he teaches, how he explains the scriptures of the Old Testament. But then let us also seek then all the more to learn these truths more deeply. I'm one of those people that when I bought this Bible that I have here that I use to preach from, one of the criteria that I had is that I really wanted a Bible that didn't have red letters in it. I'm one of those people. I just did not want the red letters. Not if you have one of those, that's fine. It's great. It's still the Word of God. What it does, it sets us up for thinking that, well, the red letters are what I really need to focus on. The red letters are what I really need to focus on and pay attention to, because those are what Jesus actually spoke. But what Scripture itself teaches is that the whole Scripture is the Word of God. All of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is the very words of God, spoken by the Holy Spirit, using fallible instruments to write and to pen it. It is all the Word of God and has equal weight and authority, whether it's written in red letters or black letters. So in seeking to understand what Jesus is teaching us, a part of that is digging into the whole Scriptures of God. Not just one part of it, but from Genesis to Revelation, the entire special revelation that we call this, the Word of God that he has given to us. And so to be taught and instructed by Jesus, we need to be in his Word, and dig deeply in understanding the truths of Scripture. Secondly, Jesus came preaching. The words here that we have, they're translated after teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. That word proclaiming could be translated as preaching. Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Literally, as you, I'm sure, are all well aware, gospel literally translated means good news. Jesus came proclaiming, preaching the good news of the kingdom. But what is that good news? What is that gospel? Well, earlier in Matthew, as Matthew was giving the account of the beginning of John the Baptist's ministry, And as just a few verses before this, giving the account of Jesus beginning initially his earthly ministry, there is the same phrase that both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ proclaimed. And that same word, proclaimed. And that same phrase was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or has come near." So the good news, the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus is going out preaching and proclaiming, is that the kingdom of heaven has come. It is at hand. It is here. The anointed one has come. And a key part of that proclamation was the first word that that proclamation began with in both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. That was repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A key part of this good news of the kingdom is that we are to repent. It's a call to repentance. This is, I believe, in opposition to and contrary to what we predominantly see in the world around us, is that those who say that Jesus, well, he was a good teacher, he was a good man, they focus on simply kind of a love aspect of Jesus that is true, but it focuses on Jesus being tolerant. You know, they really people love the verse of not to judge one another, lest you be judged yourself. Jesus was some tolerant man that overlooked people's shortcomings and their wickedness. But this isn't the gospel, the Jesus that the Gospels actually present. For his message of good news entailed with it a message to repent. Jesus wasn't tolerant of sin. He sought lost sheep, but he called people to turn from their sin, to repent, and to follow after him. And we see this clearly in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 14 and 8:11, where Jesus heals someone and then he says to them, "Sin no more." His admonition was to turn away from sin, and that word that is translated as repentance carries with it the idea of a turning away from, a changing of direction. You're changing your direction, you're turning away from your old way of life filled with sin, and you're instead turning towards a life of righteousness and following after Jesus Christ. So the good news that Jesus Christ proclaimed in the gospel of the kingdom was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And so as we consider, as we are called the children of God, and as God's people, we too are called to proclaim this gospel to a world that is in need of it. Our proclamation of the gospel must include a call to repentance, a call to turn away from the sinful life that one is leading, and to pursue then the life of holiness that God calls us to. To not include a call of repentance in our proclamation of the good news of the kingdom of God is not a loving at all. I've used this illustration before, but a call to mind, I'm using it again because I think it's a good illustration. Can you imagine the potential uproar if it was found out and discovered through maybe some news organization doing some investigative research that there was a local doctor in town at a cancer treatment center that for years and years and years had been telling his patients that you're good, you're healthy, just patting them on the back, saying you'll be fine, just keep going on doing what you're doing, and you're fine. All the while having the treatment for that deadly cancer right at their disposal, but just patting them on the back and saying and sending them on their way. We're rightly outraged in that because that doctor has the cure, but doesn't call it to attention of his patients or her patients. And if we, brothers and sisters, as children of God and called to proclaim the gospel, don't put in that message a call to repentance, unfortunately, we are like that doctor who simply pats someone on the back and says, "Everything is fine. God will overlook your sin and just go on, live as you have been living." And so as Jesus came preaching the gospel, calling people to repentance, calling them to repent of their sin and to turn away, so too we as his people are to heed, first of all, his call to repentance. We as his people are to repent, first and foremost, of our own sin. And if you are here this morning and you have not repented, the call of Christ upon you is to heed his call and to repent before him. But then we also, then, as we go and proclaim this gospel to those that God has called us to, proclaim it to, we need to call them
and
loving way, as loving as we can, to repent and to turn from sin and to seek after God. Lastly, that I want to focus on this morning is that Jesus came healing. Jesus came healing. This aspect of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ is focused upon here in this overview of his earthly ministry. We read in the rest of this passage that Jesus was healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So we see here that Jesus is gathering to himself quite a following. A great crowd from all around the surrounding regions are coming to Jesus, most likely to be healed by him, as his fame spread that this man was healing all kinds of diseases. He was casting out demons and healing all sorts of ailments that afflicted the people. And this is the ministry that we really think about. This is the aspect of his earthly ministry that we really think about when we think about Jesus, and especially the world as it thinks about Jesus Christ, thinks about someone who did good, who healed people. And as I was doing the study for this sermon, in preparation for this sermon, that was kind of how my initial thoughts began flowing as I looked at these verses. That, you know, Jesus came teaching and preaching and healing, and as the healing ministry is briefly expanded upon, and we see the large crowds gathering around Jesus, my thoughts immediately were drawn to the fact, well, this is probably why the crowds were gathering around Jesus, because he was healing people. And I wanted to, and I was thinking of going a route of challenging us all of to consider, why are we following Jesus Christ? Are we following him because of what he can do for us? Or are we following him for what we can actually learn from him, and what he, the real eternal life that he has to give us? But as I continue to study and to look at these verses, I realize, you know, Jesus deals with that later in the gospel. The gospels bring that up, how he challenges people that begin to follow him and why they are following him. But this initial mention of these great crowds following and gathering around Jesus Christ really has another purpose. Not to challenge us at this point as to why we're following Christ, but to show us the power of this Jesus Christ. It was a good thing that these people were coming to him. I mean, if we heard that there was a man down by Elliott Bay, proclaiming some strange new message, but was healing a lot of people. People were coming to him, and he was casting out demons, and paralyzed people were getting up and walking and throwing their wheelchairs or canes into the sea. We would come, and we would go, and we would see, and we'd gather around this man. See, this is a good thing that these people are gathering around him, coming to hear the proclamation of the gospel. And it shows us the power of Christ, that he has the power to heal. It is something that we need to think upon and reflect upon, that our Savior has the power to heal. But even in his healing ministry, Jesus Christ is teaching us. He is teaching us. In Matthew chapter 9, later on in the gospel, Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8, we read the following verses. And getting into a boat, he, that is Jesus, crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. One of the things that passage in Matthew chapter 9 teaches us is what the healing ministry of Jesus Christ was pointing to, what was showing us. Jesus says that Matthew 9 passage that he asked a question, well, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to get up and walk. And then he says to the Pharisees, so that you may know that the Son of Man has been given authority to forgive sins, he says to the paralytic, get up and walk. And so Jesus initially just says to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. Not healing him physically, just saying your sins are forgiven. But then when he heals him physically, that is a sign pointing to the spiritual reality, the spiritual healing that had already taken place in that man. One way we might think of the healing ministry of Jesus Christ would be kind of like a sample. And what I mean by a sample is this. One of the jobs that I had back in Kansas was for a couple of months one summer, I was a concrete truck driver. And one of the things that people would do to test the concrete, and concrete can't just be concrete. There's for different jobs, for there's a different amount of the ingredients that have to go into it. And it has to, if it's for certain jobs, they will test it. And there's this cone that they put it in. And then they put it upside down and take the cone off. And if the concrete holds its shape for a certain amount of time, then it's good. And it's a sample. And they take a sample out of that to show the reality of the whole and kind of what's behind it, whether or not it's good or not. And you might think of it also, maybe a sample that's taken from a biopsy. Someone may have some disease, so the doctors to check will take a little sample of the tissue and do some tests on it. And the tests that are done are pointing to the fact that, well, this whole tissue then is either infected or is clear from what that little tiny sample did. And the connection here between these samples and what Jesus is doing here, his healing ministry, is that his healing ministry is a visible representation of what he is actually doing behind the scenes, or what he is actually capable of. Tissue, if it's clear, and that one sample is considered clear in the whole thing behind the scenes, so too this one little picture is a picture of what Jesus is actually capable of. He heals people physically, but what he is showing us is like he can heal people physically, the true healing that he can do and has the power to do is a spiritual healing. And the true healing that we are in need of is a spiritual healing. And that is what that healing of the paralytic shows us. Again, they bring the paralytic in. He doesn't bother healing him. He just simply says, your sins are forgiven. And then he heals him. The most important healing that we need is a spiritual healing. So as we look at these verses, as we look at these verses and we see Jesus in his teaching ministry and in his preaching ministry, as we can learn from him and as we are to heed his call in the proclamation of the gospel, what the healing ministry shows us is our spiritual need for him. We need to be like those crowds in the surrounding region that flock to Jesus because they could get healed. We need to have that enthusiasm to run to Christ, because he is the only one that can heal us. He is the only one that can take away our burdens. He is the only one who is capable of removing what ails us spiritually. He can heal us physically. We know he can. He is the great physician. These things are pointing to the great need that we have in a spiritual healing, to hold fast to Christ and to come and to bow before him. And so, like these crowds came flocking and running to Jesus, we too are to come flocking and running to Jesus, bowing before him, so that we might be healed by him, laying our sins before him, so that he will take them up upon himself, and we will be healed. And so, brothers and sisters, in these verses, we see in a seed form the entire earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. He came teaching, he came preaching, he came healing. And what we're to learn from this is that we are to follow Christ as a disciple, being taught by him. He still teaches us today. This little gathering that we have each week isn't just to come together because we like to sit in a pew and then listen to someone drone on for however long. It's the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ being done here and now, as it's been done for the past 2,000 years. as he teaches us, he teaches you, he teaches me, through the preaching of the word. And I've told many of you before, I believe God has called me as a pastor and a preacher, because the only way that I would actually listen to the word that was being preached. We are all need the preaching of the word. And I preach these sermons as much to myself as I'm preaching them to you. We need the preaching and the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. And as we're called then to also come before Christ, to repent before him, he calls us then also to proclaim this gospel to those in need, showing them the love that he has shown us. And then may this then drive us to the understanding that we must be healed by him. And may we then, as these crowds do in these verses, come flocking to Jesus, falling at his feet, being taught, being instructed by him, but most importantly, being healed by him as our sins are laid upon him. And so, brothers and sisters, be taught by Jesus. Hear what Jesus preached. And then be healed by him. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we do, Lord, thank you for this word. And we pray that you would uphold us, Lord. May we continue to seek after your instruction and your truth, digging deeper into your word and being taught and instructed by you. May we, Father, heed the call of your proclamation and repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And may we, Lord, bow humbly before you. May we come flocking to you as the crowds came flocking to you to be healed physically. May we, Lord, come flocking to you to be healed spiritually, as those physical healings were pointing to, showing that you have the authority to heal us and to forgive us of our sins. And Lord, it is in your powerful and authoritative name that we pray these things. Amen.